Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK. Sean Carey with you. Steve Jones on his way in as we speak into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Got a big show today to wrap up the week and head into
really,
the weekend.
Really, really big show.
Yeah, and we have some breaking news, actually. This actually, the NFL just announced this a few moments ago. Actually, I just texted you, Steve. I don't know if you had a chance to check, but the Pittsburgh Steelers-Kansas City Chiefs game in Kansas City, they will not play it at 1:05 on Sunday. It has been moved down to 8:20 Eastern time because of public safety concerns. So the first game on Sunday will be the 4:30 matchup between Dallas and Green Bay, and then Steelers-Chiefs will play after that. So that's an 8:20 kick over on 100.9 The Valley for the Steelers call. And, of course, for the Westwood One National call, we'll have that here on WKOK on Sunday night.
A really big shoe. Okay, yes. So it's going to be a night game, huh?
Yes. Well, they've known for several days that that ice storm and those tricky conditions were coming through, so.
Yeah.
I love watching football in bad weather, although being in the stands, that's a completely different deal.
Well, here's the issue I have if I'm a Steeler fan. And this would worry me. Right? It's something you should be worried about.
Yes.
For all the issues that Andy Reid has in the final 2 minutes of a half or the game, which, by the way, the suit consistently, you know, railed on during his 4 years on the show. What the suit never mentioned is there's more to it than just the last 2 minutes of the game or the half. There are 56 other minutes, including the opening 2 minutes of the game. Which coach might be the best current coach in the NFL at scripting plays? Andy Reid. I mean, look at his success rate over the years scripting, and he scripts the opening 15 plays. And in mediocre conditions, what don't you want to do? Play from behind. You do not want to play from behind. So if the Steelers can get through the script, even or ahead, you're in really good shape. But if they're behind after the script, that then becomes an uphill battle in bad weather all night. I feel like I just made you worried.
No worries. I'm good.
That sounded awfully shaky when you said that.
Okay. No worries. I'm good.
And that sounded like you're trying too hard. sounds like me making picks against my brother. I think I'm right.
Now your brother's going to have to stay up late for the game on Sunday nights, past his bedtime.
So the Steelers-Cowboys game is now the first game on Sunday.
Packers-Cowboys, yeah, 4:40.
Or, I mean, yes. A Packers-Cowboys game.
Yes.
Man, I'm already up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, could be. That could be a Matt Nick. Yeah, that could be a Super Bowl. That's a possibility.
If that ever happened. Oh, the joy on Park Avenue in New York. That would be ratings gold.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Tonight, wrestling. Penn State.
Rutgers.
Dave Cobbler does a great job covering it for the Center Daily Times. We'll talk with him in a moment. Then Dick Girardi in the 3:30 half hour. Paul Alexander in the 4 o'clock half hour. My brother in the final half hour. Big show today. But then again, it's all brought to you by Brewers Outlet. So why wouldn't it be a big show? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
The Shamokin Dam Orchestra momentarily stunned. But it's great to have you back on the show today. Dick Girardi next half hour. Paul Alexander 4 o'clock half hour. Then final half hour. My brother, the Steelers game is now an 8:20 game in prime time. And guess what? I'm telling you right now, after they do this, next year, the Sunday game is going to be in prime time, too. I'm telling you. Weather's a good excuse. Wrestling tonight. Penn State, ranked second. Rutgers, ranked 11th at Rec Hall. Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times, joins us. Nate, so far undefeated, but it, you know, every team takes on its own personality. What do you like about this team so far?
Well, I mean, we haven't really seen a whole lot. I mean, you know, they've been home for a couple duels, and then they went away on break, and they were supposed to wrestle. Mother Nature said, no, 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 you're not doing that. You're not going to ringside wrestling. So, you know, the Big Ten season started last week for them there, and, you know, they handled Minnesota pretty well, and then, you know, went up against a tough Nebraska team, too, that, you know, they sort of had to work for the win there. But, you know, it's just that typical Penn State team. They are there, they're wrestling, and they're doing the best, you know, to their abilities, and they're giving full effort, and that's all Kale asks for them is, you know, always giving their full effort and scoring those points, and you're seeing that again this year. I mean, you had a guy in Bo Nickel who started the year, you know, he was seven straight pins in his first wins of the year, and, you know, then you still have Zane Rutherford and Jason Knoll still doing their thing. So it's just it's the same Penn State team you're used to seeing ever since Kale has taken over. So,
In fact, you mentioned, I mean, those three who are dynamic. What about Nick Nevels? What has he meant at the back end of the lineup?
Well, I mean, you know, you go from last year when you didn't have a guy with the ability of Nick Nevels who was out for most of the year, and you know, he's just one of those, he's a lighter heavyweight. And what I mean by that is, you know, he's not wrestling the 285, you know, weight. He's right around like 255, 260 mark, but he's really athletic and he can move. He's not your typical heavyweight where they're just going to stand around and until the other one gets tired out. And then they're going to, you know, it comes down to, an escape here, an escape there, and a lucky takedown here, a lucky takedown there. He's out there looking to score points, and like I said, with him being one of those, you know, lighter heavyweights, he's able to move a little quicker than the other guys.
And then there's the front of the lineup in Nick Suriano. You know, when you've had a chance to watch him, what are a couple things that stand out about him?
You see why the guy went 159-0 and won four state titles in high school. I mean, you know, you have a guy that, it's just an easy transition from a guy that used to have a Nico Megalutis. You know, he's real consistent. He's out there, and he's just going to keep doing what he's so used to doing, and that's just going out and dominating wrestling matches. And, you know, there's been a couple of matches this year where he hasn't dominated, but he's still found a way to win the match. So it just so that, you know, for a guy like him that, you know, had the success that he had in high school, he you know, when he faces adversity, he's finding a way to you know, muddle through it, and, you know, he's being successful at it. So, you know, you got to give all the credit in the world for a guy that's a true freshman, he's now, you know, now number three in the country at his weight class there. So that it's pretty remarkable with what he's doing.
Is Jimmy Gulabon a mystery in some ways?
That is a big question mark. You know, everybody is a little, you know, unsure of, you know, where did the Jimmy Gulabon go from 2 years ago that was an All-American at 133 pounds. And, you know, so, yeah, he's a big mystery. We, you know, we're not sure, you know, is it a mental thing? You know, who knows? It's just one of those things where, you know, he knows he has the ability. Cale knows. And the staff knows that he has the ability, and he can wrestle with anybody. I mean,
no doubt.
Last year, near the end, at the end of the year last year, I mean, he made a pretty remarkable run in the Big Ten tournament to finish as a runner-up after having a not so successful, you know, regular season, and then goes into the first round of the NCAA tournament, and Tech falls the number five guy in the country. I mean, the ability's there, and it's just a matter of what, you know, you have to wonder, is it the weight is the issue, or is it just more of a mental thing? So it's hard to say. You know, the season's going to continue, and by the way that Cale had made it sound, is they're going to stick with him. I mean, it's, you know, you got to stick with your guys that, you know, you can see the potential from them. And, I mean, you know, if you get a guy that's the backup who, you know, he could also fill in there nicely too, but, you know, may not be ready, or so to speak, or might just maybe not be 100%. I mean, so we'll see what happens with Jimmy Gulabon.
Yeah, it's really interesting with him because, I mean, you look at me. Who are the team leaders in major decisions this year? Oh, Nick Soriano. Now, Mark Hall has been wrestling, obviously, in tournaments. Oh, and Jimmy Gulabon. he's the guy. Of his seven wins, three of them have been by majors. But
yeah.
three and three in duels. I mean, it's just, like you said, I think you said it right, Nate. Everybody knows he's got what it takes when he puts it together.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, you have, at the beginning of the year, he had a match with the number two guy in the country, Joey McKenna from Stanford. And, you know, it's not going to get any easier on Friday when he's got a guy in Anthony Ashnault coming in from Rutgers who fourth last year in the weight class. And, you know, Cale knows that the 141-pound weight class in the Big Ten is one of the tougher, the toughest ones. So
that's right.
He's got some work to do. You know, he's got some work to do if he's going to plan on maybe trying to win a Big Ten title in his final year and an NCAA title in his final year.
And anybody in this lineup that to you has been where you've seen the improvement, and maybe it's not a surprise, but still it's something that's a big plus for them because they did improve?
I mean, obviously, a big question mark is not only at Gulabon's weight, but at 133. When you got a guy like Jared Cortez, who has been out for quite some time now with a, you know, with an injury that nobody's not quite sure what it is or anything. So, you know, anytime you have a question mark in a weight class, that, you know, you have a guy that's again capable of being in there, and, you know, he can score you some points, but there again, he's out with an injury. So, I mean, You got a nice little surprise with Gino Morelli. He's coming in. He's come in and he's now ranked in the Intermat rankings. Even though, you know, he's been the starter for the past for the past couple times here, but, you know, Shakur is the other guy he's battling for the spot has been the one that's ranked. But, you know, he's come in and he's put up a lot of points so far this year. You know, last year it was one of those things where he was winning by a match by 1 point, or he was losing by a match at a point. So he said he's come out and he's really focused on his offense, and you can see that with the way he's been picking up the wins this year. So,
and then there's Rutgers. Rutgers comes in ranked 21st in the country. They've only lost one time the entire season in a dual meet. This conference has great depth to it. What are your thoughts on this dual meet here?
Yeah, it's my story that I have coming out for the preview for tomorrow in the Center Daily Times is, you know, to talk about, you know, how there's no rest for the weary as far as Penn State goes. Now, granted, they don't have a choice in who they wrestle when they wrestle them when it comes to the Big Ten schedule. But, I mean, you're coming up with a Rutgers team that's, according to Intermat, they're ranked number 11 in the country. You know, that one loss came against a number 7 Cornell back in November at the Grapple with the Gridiron or at the Garden. So, you know, it's a pretty stacked team. Last year they had all 10 of their guys reached the NCAA tournament, which is outstanding. But, I mean, granted, they only had, you know, they probably didn't finish like they would have liked when it's only two All-Americans. But, you know, it just seems like all of their best guys are matched up with Penn State's best guys. So, you know, if they want a shot at trying to break their winless streak against Penn State, which is 0-19 right now, they're going to have some work to do with, like I said, most of their bigger guys going up against Penn State's bigger guys.
Nate, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very much.
Thank you, Steve. And we you know, hope to be on with you some other times they're here during winter.
Absolutely, because, Nate, they've got a lot going on here. They've got to go to Iowa next week, along, and then it's Wisconsin after that, then Northwestern here. So we're going to have a lot of conversations between now and into March. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Nate Cobbler, the great Center Daily Times wrestling writer. Looking forward to that Penn State dual meet. I'll tell you, I'm really fired up for Penn State-Iowa. We have to wait till next Friday night for that. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We got lots to get to. Steve will be chatting with his broadcast partner from basketball, Dick Girardi. Also, Steve's longtime friend, Paul Alexander, is going to be joining us at 4:06. And then Steve, myself, along with Steve's infamous brother, KJ, Kevin Jones, he will join us at about 4:35. And we will break down and predict all four NFL divisional playoff games this weekend, which, by the way, you can hear all of them right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And in case you missed it, the news again at the top of the hour, the Pittsburgh Steelers game with Kansas City will be...
Soft Steeler fans are going to have to move the game because you guys are too soft.
Trust me, I'd rather have it stay at 1 o'clock.
Why? Because you're so nervous?
No. It's just a convenience thing
you're
now for me.
Nervous.
No,
you're nervous.
No.
You're nervous.
No. Not at all.
Well,
not at all.
If I were facing a quarterback like Alex Smith, who's, you know, really the old age Tom Brady. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get into Alex Smith and his red zone issues at 4:35.
Yeah, we will get into that.
Yes.
So, I'm telling you right now, CBS is sitting there saying, really? We're in prime time with the Steelers?
That's actually an NBC game.
Oh, it's an NBC game?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you right now, Al Michaels is doing the happy dance.
Yeah. CBS not, since they've got Houston, New England tomorrow night.
Good luck to you.
Yes. Jim, Phil, have a great game.
Hey, have a good one. All right. Next half hour, Dick Girardi.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, the Steelers game with Kansas City is now a primetime game. It's an 8:20 game on NBC following the Packers-Cowboys because of the weather concerns in Kansas City. And I think that it's the fan concern getting to the game. I think that's what the issue is the fan concern getting to the game. You know, I mean, the teams will be there. And, you know, and obviously they'll be able to chopper in Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya. So, I mean, they're all set. I don't think there's any worry there. They'll be there. Dick Girardi in a moment, and this is going to be a fun conversation. First, this day in sports history. Will Chamberlain, 73 points at a game against the Chicago Packers, 1962, and that wasn't even his top-out number. Let's see. Also in this date, Prop 48, passed by the NCAA, 1986, and set standards for Division I freshman eligibility. NFL deal to keep Monday Night Football on ABC and the entire Sunday Night package on ESPN, 1998, $9.2 billion. Steroid testing adopted by the major leagues this date in 2005. That is this day in sports history. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Wine coolers and the pickle bar second to none. I love the dills, the barrels. You want to stock up for the weekend right now. It's going to be a big, big weekend. Plenty of football. And now it turns out you got two primetime games. Not one, but two. As the Steeler game has been moved to Sunday night. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's bring in my broadcast partner. Now working together in our 13th season. And really lucky, one of my best friends as well, Dick Girardi. Dick, I'll get to your column in a few moments that you wrote about flopping. But I want to talk about Saturday's experience at the Palestra. You've worked for the Daily News and now with me more than 300 games in the Palestra. What was that experience like for you Saturday?
Steve, I texted you earlier in the week. I said the only issue I had really was that I didn't want the game to end. It was just so much fun. It was just a joyous day to be in the building, snow outside, first Saturday of the new year, little light seeping through the windows in the afternoon, a sold-out crowd, just the feel of it was everything I think you and I had hoped for when the game was scheduled. And to see the kids, half of this team, Philadelphia kids, come home and play so well against the marquee program in the league was something. I think we thought it was heading in that direction, and I think that was kind of a confirmation that Patrick and his staff really have the program heading in the right direction. But it's just the feel of the place on Saturday. It was just cool to be in the building.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the atmosphere of it, how it played out, being in a place that is the cathedral, just past its 90th birthday. I mean, all the elements were there.
Yeah, it really was. And I mean, it was neat that ESPN was there. I haven't had a chance to watch the broadcast, but I was told they had nothing but good things to say about the team and the atmosphere in the building. And for Coach Izzo to get his first chance to play in there, bring his team, was great. But most of all for Patrick, who's a Philly guy, to be able to come back and bring his state university into the city where he's finally broken through in recruiting. And three of the players, of course, have won the Catholic League Championship in there last year, and two of them had won the Catholic League Championship in that building the year before. So the fact that there was a lot of familiarity, and you could just see people, we noticed it, Steve, at the end, nobody wanted to leave, and people were still lingering in the building. I mean, I got out of there about, I don't know, 35 minutes or so after the game, and there was people still all over the floor, and you were there even longer than I was waiting for the bus, and it just everybody just wanted to stay. It's that kind of a place, and it was that kind of a day.
The fact that we saw them play Michigan the way they did the Wednesday before the Michigan State game, was the Michigan State game an affirmation of what we saw for the most part on Wednesday night?
No question. Yeah, I mean, the only difference is they won the game on Saturday. They didn't win the game on Wednesday. And in many ways, they played a better 30 minutes on Wednesday than maybe even they did on Saturday. What was cool about Saturday, Steve, is I think I mentioned this on the broadcast, they really got the lead by playing great offense. They held the lead by playing great defense and rebounding.
Right.
Whenever you get Michigan State plus 10 on the glass, and I know they're young and they're different, but they still are extremely athletic. That's a big number, and that was the thing they weren't able to do at Michigan. They just couldn't sustain the defense all the way down because they had some mindless kind of turnovers out at Michigan, but that's the mark of a team that wasn't quite ready to win, was good enough to win, didn't quite know how. Well, on Saturday they were good enough and they did well.
Penn State will play Minnesota tomorrow. In some ways, I feel like that is symbolic of where the league is 2 weeks in. Minnesota's 3-2. Penn State's 2-2. Iowa won last night over Purdue. Is this as unpredictable as we've seen it in a while across the board?
Unquestionably, yeah. I mean, look, did anybody see Nebraska getting off to a 3-0 start? Nobody, not even Jim Miles in his wildest dreams. Ohio State's 0-4. I didn't think they were going to be a powerhouse, but just the idea that they're 0-4. So we got four teams with one loss. Wisconsin, no surprise. Maryland, 15-2. They'll probably do a little better than I would have thought, given what they lost. But they still have Mello Trimble, and they have some really good new players. Michigan State's only loss is to Penn State. When I'm looking at six teams with two losses. We're 2.5 weeks in, and there are very few results right now that once they happen, you're going to go, oh, I can't believe that happened. Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. It's as balanced and really as unpredictable. It's predictable right now in its unpredictability. Just don't be surprised by any results. And tomorrow is a real 50-50 game for Penn State. And you mentioned this earlier, a couple of weeks ago. To start becoming a good team, you got to win on your home court. And these are kind of games they need to win. And Minnesota's really good. Forget their game the other night against Michigan State. Just put a line through it. Whatever could go wrong did go wrong. They're a lot better than that. So this is one of those 50-50 games. And if you want to get somewhere, if you're at the stage where Penn State is, you kind of need to win these games.
I got a hold of you after the game on Saturday, and I wanted to know, how the Penn-Princeton game go. And you said, Steve, did you see Nevada, New Mexico? Did you see Stony Brook and Albany? Dick, those are, and you wrote about it in the Daily News, by the way,
yep.
this week. But,
yep.
I mean, those were two unbelievable finishes. I mean, set it up for us.
New Mexico's up 14 with a minute to go. And Ken Pom's put in his percentage after the fact of Nevada winning. They had a 0% chance of winning. Well, in the last minute, they made six threes while New Mexico went 4 of 10 from the free throw line. And then they hit a buzzer beater and won the game in overtime. That is Nevada. So that was impossible. Then 14 hours later, Stony Brook trailed Albany by 19 with 5.5 minutes to go and scored the game's last 21 points, including a buzzer beater. So, yeah, talk about unpredictable. You couldn't come up with that. It's insane.
And let's go with another slice of insanity. Last night, you and I have watched Cincinnati basketball for a long time.
Yep.
And we saw them, obviously, twice in person in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out in the pregame, you said, Steve, look, their best offense is the missed shot.
Yep.
They were 10 of their first 20 in threes last night.
I know.
And UCLA knocked down 19 threes last night.
Yeah, UCLA is one of the best offensive college teams I have seen, like maybe ever. They are just a freak show on offense. They don't play any defense. They don't even try, but right now it doesn't matter. They're a buzzer-beating loss at Oregon away from being undefeated. But they, on offense, it's worth staying up late to watch them. And it's all because of one guy, it's kid Lonzo Ball. You will be open when he has the ball. And with Bryce Alford, what did he make, 9 of the 3s last night?
Yes.
When he's open, he don't miss much.
Right, and he's in his natural spot at 2 now as opposed to being 1 last year.
Correct, yeah, they were trying to, his dad didn't have any choice last year. He needed to play point guard and shoot and score, and now he can just run around screens. And man, I'm telling you, he doesn't need much room, and Ball always hits him right on the numbers. I got to think, we'll get a good look at Ball because you're going to see him in the three-letter league next year, but I got to think he's a top three draft choice. I don't know what NBA team wouldn't love him as a point guard for the next 10 years.
Because he makes, I mean, there's certain guys that have the ability to make people around them better. He makes everybody better.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, UCLA was under 500 last year.
Right.
I mean, they have one other freshman kid, T.J. Leak, and him. That's otherwise it's the same roster that was under 500. So yeah, he's making a rather large difference this year.
Louisville's going to play Duke coming up, and of course, there'll be the usual big buildup for it.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as everyone wants to focus on Coach K not being there and Grayson Allen's antics, how important has the loss been of a real leader in Emile Jefferson?
Well, we saw him up close, Steve, back in November. He was the difference. He was the guy that won the game for them against Penn State. I mean, just by rebounding and making smart plays, and he's a great defender. I think that's huge. I think that's one of the reasons they've slipped back. They got hammered at Virginia Tech, hammered at Florida State the other night. So, yeah, they're just – and they're freshmen – as talented as they are, Tatum, he reminds me of Okafor. He doesn't try to play defense,
right?
Or maybe he just never had to. Sort of like Jahlil never really had to before. So yeah, I think Duke's boy, their defense is below average at this point, and it's nice. I'm looking at their offensive efficiency in ACC games is first, and defense they're seventh. that are in the middle of the pack. Now, Louisville's no offensive bargain, but
defensively, they are really good.
To me, they have been the gold standard for about a half a dozen years now. They're number one again in the country in offensive efficiency. In defensive efficiency, yeah. Steve, if their offense was even like average, they'd probably be undefeated. It's just not a great offense. They don't have any great shooters, but boy, they make it really hard to score, and they do year after year after year under my man Coach Pitino.
In the game we broadcast Saturday, there was a play to our left where a charge was called, and I know I immediately said in the broadcast that was a flop. I probably had a little bit better angle than you did because you were to my right. And then we saw the replay, and it was obviously a flop. You wrote a column and broke your 3-year moratorium on talking about this. So explain to everybody what the issue is with block charge in your eyes.
Well, a couple of things. One, when you watch the play after it's called, it's almost always a block because the defender is either still moving when the contact happens into the path of the offensive player, or he just flat out fakes getting fouled. And unfortunately, in a game with athletes who are better and faster and just bigger than they've ever been before, it's a very difficult game to call when guys are being taught and often do try to fake getting fouled. So my solution has been, if everybody in the gym thinks it's a charge, then it's charge. Otherwise, it's a block.
Right.
So it's just not, if it's not so obvious, then it's just a block, because normally that's going to be right. But the reality is, Steve, the default call is a charge. And I actually had a couple officials email me after the column. One guy told me how right I was, and he brought up something I hadn't thought of. He said referees love making the charge call because they get the run out from behind a pile out of the middle of the court,
yes,
and everybody sees them, whereas a block is just a block, and that's it. So I think there's something to the theatrics of it. And my new solution is, do what the NBA does. When you have guys, and Northwestern, I think kid Skelly had a couple obvious flops last night in the Rutgers game.
I saw it, yeah.
They missed one and called one. Call a tee on these guys. And if you have to go watch the replay to do it, do it. Because it's in the rule book. You can call a technical on guys for faking getting fouled. Call a couple tees, and then that's going to change. It's going to slow the game down for a little while, but eventually it will change it. Because right now it's totally out of hand with all the acting, and it takes away. Look, Lamar Stevens got called for the foul that you were referring.
Yes,
he's got such a wonderful game, Steve, and he's got a game that you don't see players have anymore. He has that mid-range game. He's got all kinds of different ways to score. If guys start falling down when Lamar takes two or three dribbles, that takes away from his game. It's not fair. And that's what happened Saturday. And DJ Karstarson, a very good official, he missed the call. That will happen.
Right.
But it just happens too often, and there is a solution. That's why you have replay. If you're not sure, one of the other officials says, hey, you know what, I think this guy might have taken a dive. Go look at it. You can look at it. It can take 30 seconds, and you go, you know what, he did take a dive. Technical foul, no charge, and you do it again, you're gone.
Right. And again, if you were to, say, establish that in the first 3 weeks of the season, the non-conference mm-hmm. part of the season, it would then yep. set the tone for the part that people are really watching.
Well, and it's interesting because, as you know, they actually had changed the wording of the rule to make it right. harder to draw a charge.
And it was working, I thought.
And it was working. And some of the coaches got to the people, the guys who have been teaching this forever, and it was a tactic for them. And I don't know the specific names of who went to them, but in the off season, and they basically got it revoked to where it was being called, whereas a player was about to go into his move to score, you couldn't move at that point into his path.
Right.
And now it's back to the old way again. And it's, to me, it that took the burden off the officials. Now they put it back on them, and I just think it's dead wrong. And it really hurts the college game. And in the NBA, if guys do it, they get fined. And there's a lot less of it than there was a couple of years ago, because even these guys making all the money, they don't like to give up any of it.
No, they don't. No, nobody likes to give up paper. Nah. Nobody does.
No, we don't.
No, ever. Finally, you watch Pat try to grow this, and as you mentioned, they've gone into Philadelphia. What progress have you now seen in what he's trying to grow now that we're seeing it in front of our eyes come to fruition?
Well, Steve, from game one, which you didn't get to see live because you were calling a football game, I think it was that in Indiana the next day?
Indiana, yes.
The Albany game. From game one and even game five or game 10 to now, the defense and the rebounding are dramatically better. And we're up to game 17 now. And I think in Big Ten games, now, I think this is probably not true anymore because Michigan State really held Minnesota down. Penn State led the Big Ten in field goal defense in Big Ten games, and they're right at the top in defensive efficiency, and they just out-rebounded Michigan and Michigan State last week by plus 19 in those two games. That tells you the progress they've made. And defense is just connecting the players. I think the effort was always there. I didn't think that was a problem. It's just hard. It's harder. And as Pat said to you and me, he was really concentrating in the early season on offense.
Right.
Trying to get these guys to click together. He wanted to score more. He wanted to run more. And now with and also the first five games, Josh Reeves didn't play in them, and he's certainly the key to the ball pressure part of the defense. I think this has now become a very good defensive team by the numbers and by any other by just looking at them. They're now number 46 nationally, and that's with a lot of bad games at the beginning.
Yeah.
So lately, they've morphed into about a top 25 defense with shot blockers in the back, with pressure in the front, chance to get steals, passing lane defense. They're good. Now, what needs to catch up is the full, but if they can come up with more of those first halves like they did against Michigan State on offense,
that's right,
then look out. And, and as I've said on the broadcast, and you know I've said it, this is a 65-game process with this group,
right,
all of whom will be playing together through this season and next, and there's no reason in my mind to think that they can't get up in the top half of this league. I don't know about this year or not. Maybe. Who knows? I think anything's now possible given some of the things that are happening in this league. But certainly next year, I think there's every chance they can get there. The talent is there, and now you can see the work part of it is there, because you don't get better unless you work at it and you're coached at it, and both of those things are clearly happening.
Even though you and I look at, obviously, you know, overall stats for a season, because that's, you know, those are numbers. You and I really lock in on the Big Ten stats.
Yes.
Because conference means everything.
Absolutely.
In conference play, Shep Garner is Penn State's sixth leading scorer. What does that tell you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just they're all getting better. Look, Peyton Banks has been really good in the conference. He's shooting it beautifully. He's become a real threat. And I thought the second half of last year, Peyton became a really good defender, and I thought he was an underrated part of the game Saturday. He was guarding Miles Bridges a lot of the game.
Yes, he was.
And he locked him on up. And Bridges was very frustrated. And if people saw Bridges Wednesday night against Minnesota, you see how good he can be.
Yeah.
So the fact that Peyton's doing that, and all the freshmen they're just really, really good players who are used to having success, and now they're starting to have it. And I think that Michigan game, in many ways, Steve, I think what that did more than anything, it made them mad, and because they knew they should have won that game. And a lot of teams, when they get mad, they get frustrated. They got mad and they got more locked in for Saturday, and that's what I thought was really cool about Saturday's game.
See you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
You got it. All right, Steve.
All right, thanks, pal. Dick Girardi. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth.
The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.